Welcome to tonight's show, celebrating 100 years since the birth of Brendan Behan. Tonight's plays, Moving Out and A Garden Party, both written by Brendan for Radio Éireann in 1952. Brendan Behan was born in Dublin in 1923 and sadly passed away at the age of 41 in 1964. Despite Brendan's short life, he left behind a legacy of great works, most notably Bostro Boy, The Queer Fellow and The Hostage. Brendan left his formal education at the age of 14 and became involved in Republican activities, which resulted in him being incarcerated in prison for 2 years in Bostro in England at the age of 16 and a further 4 years in prison in Ireland. Having written from an early age, Brendan continued to write while in prison and also used his time there to study language and literature. Brendan's prison experience inspired his later major works, particularly his autobiographical novel, The Bostro Boy. Brendan was commissioned to write two plays for Radio Éireann in 1952, Moving Out and A Garden Party. He also contributed to a popular radio series, A Ballad Maker's Saturday Night. At this time, and he wrote on the North Side, also for radio, about growing up in inner city Dublin. He was commissioned by the BBC to write a third radio play, The Big House, and that was broadcast in 1957. Both Moving Out and A Garden Party are considered highly autobiographical, as the families depicted Behan's own family, if only ever slightly exaggerated. In the 1930s, the Behan family did move from the old tenement buildings in Dublin, inner city, to a new suburban housing estate in Crumlin. The first of tonight's plays, Moving Out, deals with the themes of displacement, misconceptions of the unknown, family and neighbours. The second play, A Garden Party, is about adjusting to their new environment, conflict and a resistance to change. We are about to begin tonight's performance. Please enjoy. It is breakfast time in a Dublin tenement flat of the Hannigan family. Chris, the mother, is preparing the meal.
Call that fellow, Jim, as he come out.
Hi, Noel. It's gone 7:30. Come on, get up. Are you going to work today at all?
Right, all right.
It's not all right. You were lively enough last night, going off on your hop.
But, and it would be the bad accident would keep you from a hop in your day, Jim.
It didn't keep me out of my bed till 3 a.m.
Your breakfast is ready. You sit over.
You not sit down yourself?
In a minute. This fella's fallen off again. I'll go in and give him a shake.
Dad, let him lie there if he wants to.
It's not you that would have to be figuring out the loss of his day if I did. Noel, sit up, son.
All right now, all right.
It's not all right. If the heart persecuted your mother, every morning it's the same.
Go on, you, Jim, with your breakfast. Noel, let me see you sitting up. And don't wake the other fella. He can lie on another minute. It'll be hard enough to get him out to school then.
He did wake me, ma. There he stuck his elbow in my ribs.
Pour us out a cup of tea, Jim. I declare to heaven, you'd be worth nothing in this house after getting you all out, between cutting lunches and everything. Sugar, Jim.
I'm the fed up telling you to have the lunches cut the night before.
Aye, is it for them to go steal and you throw them out at 1 o'clock? It's hard enough when boys and men out all day on building jobs, with the winter blowing through a half-built house, without giving them stale bread with their cup of tea.
Noel comes in.
What class of a morning is it out?
You should know. You saw the first of it.
I was only asking to see if we could use the bike.
Sit over to your bit, Noel, and don't mind him. He was a queer old night talk himself in his day.
Bedad, and if them new houses had been on the go when we were courting, you could have walked home to Ballyfermot on your own.
Well, it wasn't Ballyfermot, if you want to know.
Well, West Cabra, whatever she hangs out.
There have been these 30 holes anyway.
The dead arose and appeared to Manny.
That egg's very hard fried, Mammy.
Why didn't you get up when it was first cooked?
You mind your own business, Mr. Bullface. You're not so handy getting up yourself. But they're very bad for your digestion, Mammy. Hard fried.
Hard got at 7 pence each.
Oh, the cost of living. Are we to have that old record again? Is there any good on the other side of it? You can't eat a bite these times, but nearly you hear it being counted as it goes into your craw. A penny, tuppence, a little bit of bread and sausage. Oh, it's a halfpenny.
Go easy on the salt.
It doesn't seem to affect your appetite anyway.
Don't mind them, Eileen. I'd like to give them the running of the place for a while. They'd be above Riley's before the week was out.
And that dearie bill finishes the sermon for the morning, Mother. And hurry up with my lunch. I'm off out to that new job on the boundary.
On the boundary? Sure, if you were any further out, you'd be out in the province of Connacht.
It's all equal to me. I'm an hour's travelling time to it.
It's country money. You should be getting to that place. It's all equal to you, certainly. What about the poor unfortunate people that has to live in them? They'll be getting no travelling time when they have to come in and out.
That's no skin off my nose. The city has to go into the sea, can it? Corporation has to put the people somewhere. We're not going to spend all our lives in the slums like this.
For once in a way, you said something sensible. Dirty, filthy holes. Without proper light, I wish we had a new house. I wouldn't care if it was on the top of the old smoky.
Get a bit of air, anyway. Not like here. The laundry's throwing out smoke all day, and the brewery taking over the gases in our sleep. So no wonder we all choked to death years ago.
Yeah, it's a wonder, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, son, that better men than you'll ever be came out of these owl streets.
A pity you wouldn't turn the racket, Dad. You might get Elvis Presley on the other side.
You're terrible smart. Yourself and your Mickey Dazzler of a brother here. I'm not in love with these houses, if you want to know, though. There is some good men reared in them. But I want to stay near where I was born and reared and not shoved out to Siberia.
Well, you have some way of keeping yourself decent with a bath and everything.
I don't care if they were given television sets with them. I'm not going out to the Bog of Allen for a bath. Not if they filled it with ass's milk, like Pharaoh's daughter.
Maybe if they filled it with porter, it might tempt you.
You're terrible witty this morning. You taking on the furnace?
A factory siren sounds.
There's the 7:45 from the brewery.
Off in a minute, Chris. I was just telling this one.
Which one? There was 3 and 6 pence pay for Miss Eileen Hannigan's name.
Well, there's always one way of getting out of here. Be changing it. If you can get anyone thicker than yourself to take you, and there never was such a shortage of thicks in this town, you and him can go live on the top of the Three Rock Mountain for all I care. And the same goes for Head the Ball here. If he doesn't like this quarter, he can always go up to West Cabra with the Mott.
Your mail's out. She doesn't live next or near it.
Well, whatever it is, you're out of your time now, or very near. And if you get spliced, maybe her own one would take you in, give you the sumptuous front parlour. But as long as your mother and I are over the sod, we'd sooner be near where we are used to. I'm direct, Chris.
Were you anything else but bright, Jim?
You're queer and sharp this morning and all. Mind now, you don't cut yourself. I was right when I got you, but not in the head.
That old clock is right, and it says 7:58 by it. It's all right for these. They have their bicycles.
From outside the hall door comes the old, quavering and rather snuffy voice of Mrs. Caramody.
Mrs. Hannigan, ma'am, are you in or up, me jewel and darling?
Oh, good night, Joe Doyle. I see that old one is on for an early start.
Mrs. Hannigan, ma'am.
Mrs. Hannigan, ma'am, would you ever have the loaf of a small turnover? The baker died on Tuesday.
Don't be jeering. We all live to be old if we can.
I'm off.
Mrs. Hannigan, me jewel, is all your mankind gone out yet?
Come in, ma'am. They're just off.
Bye, mammy. God bless.
So long, Chris. I'll be in early.
God go with yous. I suppose you will, Jim, barring you meet an angel.
Good morning to you, Mr. Hannigan.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Mr. Carmody.
Morning, Noel.
And good luck, Miss Carmody, ma'am. Ma'am, would you ever buy the ticket of an ass?
What's that, Davak?
Go off to your work, you. Don't heed him, ma'am.
There's a letter for you, ma'am.
Show us. Maybe I'll have to get me double up. Mr. J. Hannigan. It's for me, Dad. I'll bring it up to him at the bus stop. I'll catch him on the bike. It's from...
It's from the corporation. I know what it is. You're not going to work today.
I have to. The job's only starting, and I've had the key of the hut.
Well, they'll have to break the lock then. I want you here, and I want Eileen. Go after her quick. She waits at the bottom of the road for some of the girls out of the buildings. Hurry down after her.
But what's up, Mother?
The sky is up. I'll tell you when I get back. Hurry up now and get Eileen.
All right, but I wish you knew what you're up to.
You'll know soon enough. And if you see your father, you tell him nothing. He'll know soon enough too.
Says I, it's a while now since we had a pig's cheek, and himself was always partial to a bit, especially the ear. But there's pig's cheek and pig's cheek in it. The one old Daly handed to me was the most ugly looking object you ever put an eye to. It was after being shoved up against the side of a barrel by all the other cheeks and was all twisted. A glass of cockeyed ma'am, if you follow me meaning. God bless us and save us. Says I, in my own mind, if I put that up to him with a bit of cabbage and the twisty look in his eye, when he goes to put a knife in it, he'll throw me out. So I says to old Daly, says I, God bless us and save us, Mr. Daly. Says I, but that is a very peculiar looking pig's cheek. And says he, what do you want for 2 shillings? Says he, me Hall Mac Lillimore, the impudent old dog. Says he, hold on a minute and I'll see if I can get you one that died with a smile.
Whist, someone coming up. That's a be Noah and Eileen.
The old one, still gabbing away.
God help her, she's going into Mammy for a bill of company.
Here we are, Mother.
What is it, Mammy? You're not sick or anything.
I'll be off, Mam.
You bet again, Miss Camerady. Don't take any bad money.
That's right, son. Good morning, all.
And good luck.
That letter this morning?
The errors on my bike?
Shebo's being summoned.
Was he now? I won't get up at all, so I won't.
Get up this minute, Seamus.
Get up at once when you're old.
Leave me alone. Get up, Shebo, and be a good boy.
I won't be a good boy. I'll be a very bad one. What's the good of people being good boys if other people's going around saying they're summoned?
You're not summoned.
Well, anyway, I've a desperate pain and I'm too sick to get up.
Don't mind them, Seamus. And you can forget about your pain. You're not going to school today.
No.
You can get your health back and help me and Eileen and Noah shift the furniture. We're moving.
Moving?
No, Mother.
When, Mother?
I'll be up in a minute. It was only a small pain anyway.
We're moving this very day of our Lord. I had a letter from the corporation. Here it is.
Housing Department, Dublin Corporation. Mr. James Hannigan. You've been allocated the tenancy of 38 Ardy Road. Please call to Lord Edward Street, where the keys are.
Oh, we won't mind a little thing like that.
Here I am now, dressed and all.
My daddy would go mad.
Will he? Well, he can go sane again.
It'll be lovely. A new house and an electric light and a bath.
And mountains and trees and sand pits.
What mountains? You little idiot. You're as bad as me da. Anywhere an inch past the circular road and you think you're in Texas.
Takes one idiot to know another. And there will be mountains, won't there, Ma?
Well, at least there'll be plenty of good fresh air and fields for you to play in.
Of course, we don't have to mix with them. But I believe there's an awful clique up that road. A girl in work to move up there. And she says they were desperate.
I heard that myself, all right. They play tag with hatchets.
That's the Dublin people all over. Never a good word for another from one street to the next. When I was going out with your father, the people over our side of the city said to me, Miss Coyle, don't say you're getting married under that clique over there. Sure, in that quarter, they eat their dead. And our father told me years afterwards that he was warned about our quarter in the same way. Only they said we eat our young.
Convenient all the same. One side of the river, you wanted no prams. On the other side, there's no call for horses.
The people in RD Road will be the same as ourselves. They're pledging on Monday, releasing on Saturday, and trying to pull the devil by the tail the 5 days between.
Mrs. Hannigan, me jewel and darling.
I'm off. Where am I going first?
Go down to Colin Farrell and get the hiring of his yoke. Seamus can go with you if he's finished his breakfast.
I am.
Eileen and I will go downtown and see if we can get a few things.
Mrs. Hannigan, me Jill.
Yes, Mrs. Carmody. Come on in, ma'am. And Noel.
Yes, mother.
Be very careful with the wireless and put straw. The gem will give you some around my little ornaments. Seamus can sit up all right and hold the two dogs.
I will, ma, and I won't let them fall and break, neither.
You better not. I had them before I had you. And Coles Lane for 1 and 6, I got them.
You got value for money in them times.
Ma, I'm not going with Big Mouth here if he doesn't give over. First people's being summoned and then they're worth 1 and 6.
Mrs. Hannigan, ma'am.
Come on, Lightning. One thing about RD Road, won't have to be listening to that old one.
But mother, he'll rise murder. You heard him saying 100 times that he'll never leave here. Only for a flat in the city. And sure, where are we going to go now? He already knows what side of town it's on.
Let him go and ask a guard then. He won't be long finding out. I've stood these dens long enough. His dinner will be cooking for him in 38 RD Road tonight. I better be coddle. He'd walk to RD, not to mind RD Road, for a good coddle. We'll leave a note for him. Dear Jim, just a line to let you know we move today to number...
Ah, no, ma. Don't write the number. Put first two new and commodious premises at number 38 RD Road.
Where a hot coddle has been cooked for you by...
Jim arrives home to find a note.
A hot coddle has been cooked for you by your loving wife, Chris Hannigan. Has she gone out of her mind or what? 38 RD Road. That's out in the new houses. Is that where I've got to go for my bit of dinner? For a journey like that, a man would want a sup of something to help him on his way. When I see you again, Christina Hannigan, if it's above RD Road itself, I'll give you a hot coddle. Hot coddle indeed.
Jim arrives at the pub.
Me selling man, Jim, how's the farm?
Never was worse, Jerry. As sure as I'm standing here and you're pulling that pint, evicted I am, deported and transported. Did you ever hear tell of Captain Boycott?
I did then, in the old times, putting people out in the roads.
Well, you are looking at her husband.
I always thought it was a man.
Well, you needn't. It's a woman, and I'm married to her. At least I was. But seeing as I was deserted, I'm not sure now whether I am or not. Ah, that was badly wanted. Give us a bottle of that, Jer.
Coming up, Jim. But where's she gone to?
Some place to call RD Road. Might as well be Jeopardy for all I know. The deceit of her. There I was, this morning, going out to my hard day's work, little dreaming that before the day was out, I would be an orphan. And what nicer am I than an orphan and an exile, with no place to lay my head?
It's no joke, right enough.
I don't even know where RD Road is, or how to get to it.
Oh, I can tell you that.
I thought you were from Tip. Is it that far out?
No, it's not that. I used to play hurling out there in the old days. And we used to go out there with the long dogs, the greyhounds, for a bit of coursing. The United Coursing and Sporting Grocers Curates of Ireland.
I'm not a bit surprised to hear it, no. Nor have you told me you shot wolves in it. But whatever about the coursing, be it... Sporting Grocer's Curate, just tell me how to get to it.
Well, when you get down as far as the O'Connell Bridge, you get the number 84 bus, you go as far as you can on that, and then you get the conductor to let you off at the Widow Clarkins.
Is it bona fide?
Well, I don't know if it's there now at all. That was 25 years ago. Myself, I was only a gossoon at the time, just up. And poor Mick Ryan from Nina and Sean Roach from the Galties. And sure, where would you leave poor Paddy Leahy, hurled up from Berlina with more county medals than...
Jerry, keep that bit of knock to go for the winter nights and concentrate your brain for the minute. And my innocent children, kidnapped to the wilds of the bog by a faithless wife. Always the curse of Ireland, Jerry.
True for you. Dermot McMurra's daughter.
Bad and all as she was, I don't think she'd walk off on a man's house, home and habitation without saying yes, aye or no.
And when you get to the Widow Clarkins, it's beyond that what the new scheme is. Only a mile or two up your road.
Give us another there to help us along the road and sure, give Mrs. Hanratty a gin there as you're at it.
There you are, Jim, and it's on the house. You're always a good customer here and a decent one.
I always am.
Okay, Daddy, no lie there.
goodbye, Mr. Hannigan. And you were always a good neighbour.
Ara, cheer up. It's not like America is going.
Sure. If only it was, Jerry. So there's only parts of that civilised. But aren't I after hearing you with your own lips saying that place is infested with wild greyhounds that glow around eating people, even grocers' curates?
She'll be all right, Jerry. It's only the few sups. It takes her that way between. The day she stood in the tanner with me on the three cross double of bag of cans across the board and anything to come on to Gordon in the last race. We had a few and all went well and as merry as a wedding. But when we went into the daughter's for a cup of tea and a bit of brahan, and she heard me grandchild reciting a poem he got for his exercise about the Battle of Clontarf, she broke down at the bit where the Danes cut the legs of Brian Boru and wanted to get the yards for the man.
Well, I better be making a start.
Good luck, Mr. Hannigan. Yep. Goodbye.
No, Jim. Yep,
Jim. Goodbye. And God love you, Jim Hannigan. I can tell you, I knew your poor mother, Mrs. Hannigan, in death. The Lord have mercy on her and on you and yours. Going out to that mountain with... Oh, wild grocers. I mean greyhound curates. I mean...
There now, ma'am. I know what you mean, and it does you credit. Good luck, Jerry.
Goodbye, Jim, and don't forget to give us a call.
That I will, Jer. Anytime I come to Dublin.
And don't forget your road now. 84 from the O'Connell Bridge all the way out, and then ask for the Widow Clarkins. Good luck,
That's
Jim.
A long hey, song now. Mind yourself.
Long, mate.
Jim has just alighted from the bus and is standing talking to the conductor.
Right, the new houses. Anything to declare? Take it out and we'll eat it.
Is that the Widow Clarkins there?
I suppose it is, if her husband is dead.
I'm looking for the new houses.
Well, this is as far as we go. You couldn't bring the buses up there yet. I only know that this is the terminus. Thus far shalt thou go, and no further, as the man said. Try them in the shop there.
I will. Good night. It's as black as my boot. I'll go over and see if this is it.
A door leading into a small shop, and Jim walks in.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am. Annie Herman asking, would you be the Widow Clarkin?
How dare you, sir? What do you mean?
Oh, no, it's all right. I was only asking. If you are, poor old Clarkin is better off wherever he was.
How dare you, sir? I'll have the guards on you if you...
Dad, I'd much sorrow loss if you did. I'd have a bed for the night anyway, instead of walking around this wilderness like a poor dog, Trey. Where the devil's name am I? If I can only see the stars through the fog, but I suppose the stars out here are not the same as the ones I'm used to back in the city. If only I could meet some other good Christian herself. Ah, maybe this fellow might have an idea where we are. Good night. Begging your pardon, could you ever tell me how to...
You're asking the wrong man. I haven't a notion. No more than the newest child in the rotunda. I was home from work today, and I see an address in my own door. Left there by me wife, saying she's moving to...
Dad, I'm the very...
Just hold on a minute till I tell you this. You never heard the beatings of it since Chuckles Rochford fought the monkey in the dustbin and came out without a scratch. I was come home from work and goes to my own back drawing room. We had the pair for half nothing pre-war, only she wasn't satisfied. Neither was my eldest daughter. Wanted a nice house to bring her fellow, if you please. One of the reasons I didn't went to Mayo. Same fellow would date the side wall of Store Street bus station. Sit there all Sunday evening, glutting himself, mangling mate the way you'd think he was trying to go back to Birmingham. It had a child's leg tray with chair, and the daughter one side of him, and her mad dealer like 2 seconds, wiping his forehead and egging him on to savage a bit more.
Come on, Eamon, try another bit of the ham. Eamon, just taste another pick of the corned beef.
And me sitting there, like a half tick, watching me Monday's lunch going down his hungry looking maw. Honest, I beg your pardon till they ever get a bit at home. And now today, gone to new house at...
What nicer am I? Wasn't I just...
Just a minute, Mac. Give me a chance for only a second. Do you know where RD Road is? Or how do I get to
sure,
it?
Isn't that where I'm going myself? I went home too, and they moved out to RD Road.
What number are you?
38.
I'm right beside you. 37. We'll be able to get together of an evening for a chat. Gabble Gibbon's the name. Of course, that doesn't mean I gabble all the time or anything like that. It's the name I got during the trouble. All our squad had nicknames to bluff the other crowd. I remember one night and I coming home, it'd be just after the curfew.
You were never out here during the trouble. I mean, on reconnaissance, so we could find our houses now.
Here's houses. Go up and ask. Maybe they'd know.
Chance it anyway.
Jim walks up and knocks. And knocks again, and the door opens.
Come in, da.
It's Eileen.
Come into the new house, da. Welcome to 38, da.
Welcome to 38, da.
Come to the kitchen, da.
Jim, you must be lost.
Not your fault, I'm not.
Now don't be given out of you. I've the hot coddle on for you, and see what Seamus put up over the mantelpiece.
Kids, Mila, Fortune.
It's supposed to be a Christmas decoration, da. But sure, this is kind of Christmas.
And I kept a few hippin inside of the linoleum money for a few half dozen. You'd need it, God help you, after your wanderings. Now sit over to the table now for a bit. And Noel, draw the cork of a bottle for your father while I knock into Mrs. Camodi.
Mrs. who?
Mrs. Camodi. She's moved out to this house the side of us.
And that gabble merchant, the other.
Who?
Draw the cork of that bottle, Noel. It's badly wanting.
Out in a minute, Mrs. Hannigan. Me, Jewel.